Ladies and gentlemen, for more than 80 years, Vietnam was under the French yoke. This domination has yielded hundreds of billions of francs to the French colonialists, but cost millions of Vietnamese lives. Vietnam practically was nothing but a prison of the people. Our freedom movement was as old as the imperialist domination itself. Armed upsurges broke out nearly every 10 years, which were always ferociously suppressed by the French authorities. Four emperors were deported. Hundreds of thousands of Vietnamese patriots sentenced and tortured to the death by the French police. While courageous and sanguinary with us, who had no arms, these very colonialists bowed very low before their well-armed opponents and surpassed their own kings by their cowardice and shame. In 1941, when the Japanese military just came near to the Vietnam border, the French quickly signed with them an agreement allowing them to establish themselves strongly in Indochina, from which Japanese troops attacked and occupied Siam, Burma, and Malaya afterwards. By allowing the Japanese to occupy our territory, France frequently violated international laws and old treaties and tacitly gave up the right of protection she had imposed upon Indochina. Furthermore, a pact of common defense was signed by France with Japan against the Allies. The French colonialists strengthened the Japanese rear by giving active assistance and abundant supplies to the Japanese army. On March 9, 1945, the French in Indochina shamefully surrendered to the Japanese without any resistance. Those who succeeded in flighting to China did not forget to slaughter the Vietnamese patriots they were detaining in their prison for anti-fascist activities. The Viet Minh was therefore the only force that fought the Japanese in Indochina. With the American aid, it succeeded in capturing seven provinces. Taking advantage of the Japanese surrender, it organized its general movement of insurrection, which resulted in the overthrowing of the puppet government set up by the Japanese, and in the establishment of the Vietnam Democratic Republic. The slander made by Admiral Dachanger and the former French Prime Minister Paul Reynaud by alleging that the government of Ho Chi Minh was a mere Japanese creature, or that the Japanese willingly handed their power over to Ho Chi Minh, is only so much shameful that it comes from the very person who have surrendered to the Japanese without fighting. Our revolution in Vietnam may be compared to the revolution of 1776 in America. We have a national assembly elected by means of universal suffrage and a democratic constitution. Our government, that led by our venerated President Ho Chi Minh, is the materialization in Vietnam of President Lincoln's formula, government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Democratic, our government is desirous to cooperate with the French Fourth Republic, but intends not to tolerate French colonialism. In spite of many concessions made by President Ho Chi Minh to France, the French colonialists want nothing but reimposing their regime of slavery upon the Vietnam people. Their attacks against South Vietnam, it is to say former Cochin China, Haiphong, Lang Son, Bắc Ninh, and finally Hanoi, the Vietnam capital, have led to the present large-scale war. Who fights the first shot? Vietnam say the French colonialists. Well, and the French colonialists say Vietnam. Compare France, the fourth biggest power in the world, to Vietnam, the newly born small state, and you will see which wants war. This accusation could be acceptable only if you admitted the allegations made by Germany in 1914 against Belgium and by Italy in 1913 1939 against Albania. The wolf might allege that it was provoked and attacked by the lamb, but it would never be right. Indeed, we are somewhat disappointed about the Atlantic and UNO charters, which are not carried out in favor of the people's self-determination. In spite of all that, we still hope that those nations who have experienced the bitterness of fascist and colonial regime, those personalities who have fought all their life for the cause of justice, will soon raise their voice in the Security Council to defend us. For the war in Vietnam is an aggressive war waged by the strong nation against the weak nation. It is a war of conquest. At the very moment when UNO desires peace, condemns aggression and conquest. Vietnam, as our president has many times stated, desires to be a free member of the French Union. But French colonialism does not want it. It admits only enslaved members. If France does not repent of her act by recognizing immediately Vietnam's independence and unity, by withdrawing her expeditionary forces, her presence will be banished forever from Asia, where national and revolutionary eruptions are roaring in all corners. Vietnam without the French Union will not be alone. She will be in her Asian family, which is geographically, racially, and culturally more natural than her compulsory marriage to France, that is far away, conservative and arrogant. Instead of granting prior right to French capital and technicians, she will open her doors widely to all the talents of the world who will help her to reconstruct herself, to live independent, free and happy. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Con Van Long. I know that you feel very deeply about this, and I'm only sorry that we can't understand your French. Perhaps it would be easier for you. Now, if the general will answer some of my questions, I would be extremely grateful. One of the current rumors that seems to be running around this part of Asia at the moment is the rumor that apparently started in Saigon some weeks ago that President Ho Chi Minh was either dead or in exile. Perhaps, General, you would tell me about this. When did you see President Ho Chi Minh last?
This is not a question for us. For almost every week, President Ho receives representative of press. Myself, I am in regular touch with him. Ho delivers speech at the beginning of March to the population of Ningbing and Thanh Hoa. During his long revolutionary life, he was reported dead at least three times. You know, when the French colonialists, confident in their military strength, do not want to negotiate with Ho, Ho is dead. When, in the contrary, they know by experience that by military forces they cannot subdue the Vietnam people, President Ho is alive. Representative of World Press can now meet our president if they want. My son, I am ready to arrange the travel for them to Vietnam.
That's very nice. That certainly puts an end to that rumor. There's, of course, in the papers today and yesterday here, we've been reading that France is ready to negotiate. So under those circumstances, I would judge that they now believe he is alive. But tell me, what do you think about these negotiations, General? Do you think that there's any chance that they might be successful? Or do you think that they will
Certain members of the French government have declared they are ready to accept the surrender of Vietnam. French reactionaries can expect it for their own life. They have the right to do so. But my sense, I have, at the same time, the right to declare that, as the pupil of the French culture, we have learned very much from the history of France. particularly from the heroism of French revolutionaries and patriots. However, we never learn from French revolutionary to surrender as they did in Munich, in Paris to German, and in Saigon, in Hanoi to Japanese. Now, a negotiation between Vietnam and France is possible. The only basis of this negotiation will be, first, the French must recognize the full independence and the unity of Vietnam, and the France must negotiate only with our President Ho Chi Minh, who represents the legal government of Vietnam.
That's very good. That answers my question, and I'm very glad to have that point cleared up. Now let's get to the more personal side. I understand that you had a very hard time getting to India and that you had a fight on the frontier or something like that. Would you tell us how you were able to come out through the French blockade and reach India for this inter-Asian conference?
If you succeed in reaching Bangkok, the capital of Siam, you can go speedily to New Delhi by air. But from Vietnam to Siam, you have to cross many French lines in Laos and in Cambodia. In this country, as in Vietnam, there is large-scale guerrilla warfare. You can go to Siam by sea, but sea are patrolled by French warship and seaplane day and night. You cannot go out without risking your life. After all, we receive a letter and document from our President Ho Chi Minh a few days before the opening of the Asian conference. We have no passport. However, by presenting the letter of invitation from India and the letter of recommendation from our President, we easily got visa from British and Indian consulate, and we are very grateful to them, particularly to the authority of Siam Kingdom. We had nothing to do with the French consulate because, firstly, Vietnam is de facto and legally an independent nation.
Tell me, can you tell us more about your trip out, the trouble you had coming out to India? Can you tell us more about that?
I think that it is sufficient.
You're being evasive. Now, we have some more questions here. One of the things that we would like to know, I'm sure everyone in every American that I've talked to around Asia would like to know the political affiliations of the Vietnam. No one knows whether it's what kind of a government, Republican or socialist or so forth. Perhaps you clarify the point for us.
It is a very important question. Vietnam is a democratic republic. We have elected our constituent assembly by universal suffrage. We have now our constitution. The French reactionaries put forward the specter of communism to discredit our national movement. But you see, France has nationalized bank, electricity, transport, heavy industry, and France is far from communism. Vietnam has nothing to nationalize. Our law respects the private property. We have no Pakistan land property, and we have no idea to do so. Vietnam is too backward a nation from the point of view of economic development to be a socialist country. The French reactionary say that by fighting Vietnam, they fight Asiatic totalitarianism. Let me say that Ho Chi Minh government is a coalition government in which five political parties cooperate with independent representatives. Our people do not want any doctrine. We want only independence and unity in France. The strongest party is the Communist Party. In Vietnam, the Communist Party disowned itself 1 year ago. I therefore beg the French reactionary to take care first of their own job in their own house. Our revolution is not socialist. It is a national and democratic one, like American Revolution in 1776. We apply the idea of Lincoln, that of Sun Yat-sen, to build a national and independent government of the people, for the people, and by the people. That is all.
Well, this for the people and by the people line rings to my ears and brings back the early days of political science classes back in America, where I was taught a lot about those sort of things. Now, I tell you what I'd like. You have a little memo. We were talking before we came into the studio about what the life is like in the Vietnam. I'm sure the life, what people do, how they're living. Tell us what they do. I mean, what do they feel? What are they thinking? What are they doing? We on the outside can't see in, and we depend on you now to give us a little description, perhaps.
You mean the life behind the line?
Well, I mean, in the Vietnam areas, what are the people doing? We know there's no moving picture houses. We know that you have no electricity, that things are very grim and very difficult. Now, can you tell us something about that?
Everyone work to produce food for himself, and firstly for the army. People willingly feed the soldier. All rice fields now are cultivated. We don't keep our rice in the house, but in the maki, in the forest, in the field, to preserve our food from looting by French army. Everyone learn to read and to write. We pursue the war against illiteracy in the same time than the war against colonialists. Soldiers also learn in the barrack, in the trench. We have thousand and thousand wall newspaper. You understand? Wall newspaper.
Yes, a newspaper. What's the name of your newspaper?
Newspaper, wall newspaper.
Oh, I see. Bulletins, you mean.
Many. Every day, we listen to our radio, to world radio, and comment the news from everywhere.
Good. Well, that's very nice, and that gives us a little better picture. Now, I tell you, there's another statement that I have a note here in front of me to ask you, namely that there are, someone was quoted the other day, that 25,000 Germans are now being employed by the French in the battle against the Vietnam. Can you enlighten us on this subject? Do you know, for instance, the figure sounded a little high. Perhaps you can explain it to us.
A pressman, some months ago, asked our representative in Paris if it is true that we have 10,000 Japanese in our rank. You know that British authorities has declared that only 800 Japanese had deserted in Indochina. How can we have 10,000 Japs in our rank? I do not deny the presence of a very few Japanese. We use them to repair our rifle. We are not in need of foreign fighter. To free our fatherland, the Vietnam, we are as much courageous as any soldier in the world. We have also many German with us, those who have deserted the French army. The French are using more than 20,000, about from 20,000 to 25,000 German in their foreign legion. Most of them are former soldiers of Roman African corps. Can the French authority deny that? The French colonialists have made much noise about the Japanese in our army in order to explain initially their serious and frequent defeat.
Well, I knew that there were a great many of the Foreign Legion in Indochina at the time of the Japanese surrender, and it is interesting to see how they are being used. There's one, of course, vital question which I think we should answer now, although it's further down on our agenda, and that is that despite the use of the German troops and these various peace proposals, there must be some basic means to peace. There must be some way that peace can be brought about. After all, the destruction of human life cannot continue forever, and there must be some formula. Now, I know we've been talking around the subject, but can you give me in a few words how peace can be brought about in Indochina?
How peace can be brought about in Indochina?
Yes.
Firstly, by direct negotiation between the French government and the Vietnam government on the basis, I said to you, of granting full independence and unity to Vietnam. And secondly, the peace can be brought about by some nation of the United Nations organization, such as United States of America.
What I had in mind more was the actual points that of a formula for freedom. In other words, we agree that there will have to have negotiation, some sort of negotiation between the French and yourselves and the Vietnam government. But I was wondering, what are the points now, the vital points of peace? I mean, what points are holding up the negotiations? Let's put it that way.
We have signed with the France two agreements. First, the agreement of 6 March, 1946. And after that, President Ho Chi Minh has signed with the French government one modus vivendi, 14 September 1946.
Well, now, to be a little more explicit, what, for instance, do you intend to be a dominion status at all, or do you want complete independence for the Vietnam? There seems to be a point about that, because in Indonesia to your southward, and various other places, this business of dominion status is coming up, and I was just wondering what the position of Dr. Ho Chi Minh, your president, was with regard to dominion status. Will he accept dominion status, or will he not accept dominion status?
We don't accept the dominion status. We want to be an independent state. If the France agree to, we will be a free member of the French Union. If the French don't want to grant the full independence and unity to Vietnam, we will be an independent state without French Union.
Well, that helps to clarify the position a lot. Now, I tell you, I'd like to go along we were talking earlier about atrocities, and I'd like to know something about the atrocities which have been committed. I know that, for instance, that you have very few instruments, except most elementary guns and bows and arrows and what have you. Tell us a little bit first about your weapons, and then about the atrocities that are being committed, which there's been so much talk recently.
The French colonialists have made large propaganda about the Viet Minh atrocity and about the French humanity. Then I challenge French colonialists to allow press representatives of the world to send freely their telegram from Vietnam, to go everywhere through the line into Vietnam areas in order to see the French atrocity on the spot. But I don't want to stress it, for we are at war. They have burned thousands and thousands of villages. We will rebuild our house. They have order their men to kill all people from 6 to 16 of age, to realize their policy to restore order by making emptiness. You follow me?
I do.
To realize the policy, this policy is to restore order by making emptiness. But we have our army to defend our sense, to defend our people. We have a yearly surplus of 250,000 persons to recover this emptiness, which France does not have.